fish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, live from the banks of the Olentangy. I've always wanted to say that. That was what Keith Jackson, the ABC sports announcer, always used to say when Ohio State was playing Michigan and the game was at Ohio Stadium. The camera would come on and he would say, live from the banks of the Olentangy. Because the Olentangy River runs right along Ohio Stadium, which is, let me bow every time I say Ohio State, largest church in America. So live from the banks of the Olentangy. I'm not from the banks of the Olentangy, but boy, the sun is hitting me in the face here today. We had a thunder boomer blew through yesterday, took down some branches, some big limbs and everything across our property. No internet. Haven't had internet now for, sounds like I'm suffering, doesn't it? Haven't had any internet for a while, but I haven't. Don't have any internet at home. And so I'm at McDonald's. So let me give a free commercial here to McDonald's. I'm sitting out in front of here. I've always wanted to do this show before a live studio audience, and maybe I'll gather one here as people coming by, giving me a funny look, trying to wonder what the heck's going on here. What is today? Today? Oh, I know what today is. Is it today? Yeah, today's Jesus is about to return because Jerusalem's been reestablished and our embassy's there now. So all of you out there with your 401ks and your 501cbs and all that kind of stuff, you might as well cash all that stuff in, spend everything you have right now because everything is about to come down. The rapture's going to take place here probably within the next 4 or 5 days. Everything that you've ever built your life on, all that money, all that property, now would be the time to get rid of it. Sell it to whoever. Give it away. Give it to me. If you would like to, you could take every dollar that you have in your bank and you could send it to me right now. And in case I happen to not make it, at least I'll have a lot of finances that I can mess with after everybody else is out of here. And I'm fighting, me and Chad Estes are alone up on the hill fighting against all the whatevers that are coming after us. You know, I joke about that, but I'm telling you this morning, I just amazing. I could get on Facebook on my cell phone. That's what I'm broadcasting you today over is my cell phone. I've got the computer in the background because I can't even see who all's in the queue here with me today. But the little bit that I could see on Facebook, I'm telling you, it's Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And every Christian venue that I went to this morning, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Jerusalem has now been established. It is time, man. What about this? What about this? It says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world, and then the end shall come. Has this gospel of the kingdom been preached? I don't even know if this gospel of the kingdom. I know a gospel's been preached in America, but has the gospel of the kingdom been preached even in America? It's like, what the heck are you talking about, Coach? Well, you have to go back and watch one of our previous shows. I'm flying light here today because I told the guys before I came into the queue, I'm not very well prepared because I got up at 5 o'clock and I couldn't get on the internet to get some of the stuff I wanted to say. So I'm going to have kind of a flea flicker Friday. Hey, Glenn, I can't even see if anybody's in there. Glenn, are you with us here this morning? I don't know if Glenn is. Is he?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Glenn. So what's going on, man, down there? What are you doing in Dallas coming up this weekend? Let's let the folk down in Dallas know something's going on down there.
Yeah, well, we're having our second meeting of the Dallas Salt and Light Brigade. It'll be this Saturday. And so we're looking to really start to bear down on some ministry activities, and kind of get an assessment of where we're going and kind of get the group to gel a little bit, spending some time getting to know one another and, develop a game plan. That's what we're looking to do.
I would suggest to you, Glenn, it's up to you and anybody else out there who's trying to pull together, folks, show us some videos. Show some videos.
Well, I have one planned. We're going to kick it off. I have a video planned. The title is The Light. And it really talks about the the fact that we have to be active, particularly, and it really is focused on the LGBT movement, but it has ramifications in other areas. You can apply it to, you know, the abortion issue and other areas. But I think this is what I'm going to use this as a kickoff just to get everybody focused in.
So good, Glenn. So anybody would like to be part of that event down there, folks, I want to salute Glenn and Corinne and David Hawkins and whoever is working together down there. It's hard to get one. It's risky to get one of these things up and going. Chad Estes has been the champion of doing it, of getting people together. And he calls it the Estes Ranch. Although it's not really a ranch. It's just, you know, Chad's got a nice place with a few acres, four or five. I don't know how many acres he has, 4 acres maybe. And Chad's put his heart into this, into trying to build a network of people around him. And I salute Glenn, who's trying to do it well. And I know we got guys in other parts. Rob Pugh's killing it up in Wisconsin, and Sarge and those guys are doing a great job of it in Maine. And I wish I could impress this upon you enough. This is, even though I consider this to be a national organization, it's not really. It's local. Everything's local. Everything is local. I think back up, but people are looking at me funny. They've never seen a live broadcast here at McDonald's. But I got to need to shave. I need one too. A lot of fat women in the world. You guys notice that? A lot of fat. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there. And sitting out front of McDonald's, you notice that when they come in there. Listen, especially it's important now, not fat women, but assembling ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching, because I don't know if you know this or not. We just moved the embassy to Jerusalem. So that was probably the final straw. The Lord's probably standing up and changing his shoes right now, probably about ready to come back. Somebody's out there saddling up his horses, getting ready. I hate to be so cynical, but it's like this. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. If heaven's so glorious, why aren't we going around shooting people so they can go to heaven? If heaven is so glorious, I believe it's glorious. Don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to logically help some of you people think through this, think through how we think, how stupid we are. If going to heaven is such a glorious thing, then greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. Oh, this is going to be on right wing watch. I can tell you this. I'm going to put this disclaimer out there right now. Right wing watch. This is a joke. And if you go ahead and you put this up as truth, I'm going to sue you for every cent that you have. Kyle, I'm giving you a fair warning right now. Okay. But if we really believe that heaven is so glorious, then why wouldn't I lay down my life, and my life being my eternal life, and just go around and help people get to heaven sooner? Isn't that what we ought to do? Because, folks, listen, in essence, isn't that what the rapture is all about? Isn't that really it? Going to heaven without dying? Isn't that really what we would like to be able to do? I'm not making fun of anybody or anybody's theology, but I just want you to try to think this thing through. And it says, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. This generation shall not, it's 70 years. That's a generation, isn't it? 70 years. I looked this morning. I don't know if you got, I'm outside McDonald's. That sun coming up out of the east is so bright. When you turn 70, aren't you into your 71st year? Larry, you're an old man. When you turn 70, aren't you into your 71st year?
Yeah, a septuagenarian. I can't pronounce the way my grandkids say it, but it's a hoot.
But so you're 70. So if a generation is 70 years, it should have already happened, shouldn't it? Somebody help me here. Somebody help me with my math.
Well, that's why they call this the 21st century, Coach. It's the same concept. We're actually in the 21st century.
So we're actually into the 71st year of Israel, right? Yes or no? I think we are. I think we're into. And if a generation was 70 years, they first told us it was 20, and then it was 30, then it was 40, and then it was the late great planet Earth in 1984, and then it was. Are you with me? Say, Coach. You really hit me hard, Coach. Because I've believed this my whole life. Okay. Well, what are you gonna do when it's the 75th year? You still gonna believe it? I'm just asking. Because Because at some point, don't you stop and look and say, you know, I missed that bus. Something wasn't right here. Now, for those of you who are getting angry at me, because I can feel it, some of you are, if there's a rapture, I'm out of here. I'll be on the same bus as you. Listen to me. I don't have to believe in a rapture to go if there is one. But what if you believe there is one and there isn't? What happens then? What if we have to live in this mess that we created another 30 or 40 or 50 years? What if Jesus isn't coming because today's the birthday of the reestablishment of Israel? What about little David and little Macy and little Reese and little, I'm forgetting, Macy, David, Reese, and Mia. And then the two new ones that are coming. What am I leaving them? Yeah. Jump in or somebody rescue me. Good to hear you this morning, Dale. I'm discombobulated. I'm off stride because I'm at McDonald's. That's that guy's third time through. I swear it is.
Well, Coach, that's his third time. It's kind of like the termite theory. It's kind of like the termite theory. The termites get in your house. They start eating your woodwork. But it doesn't matter because we're going in the rapture. So we're just going to go ahead and let them eat. That's what we've done to our society. We've allowed society because we have this mentality, oh, we're just going to leave. Well, guess what? Man, termites are eating our moral fabric of our nation. We're leaving our generations be next after us, brother. It's discombobulated. It's destituted. It's destroyed because we're just staring at stars and hoping that he comes. And our biggest impression we make is the impression that we make in the chairs sitting in the church.
Dale, you know what the other big impression we make? I'm sorry, we sound like fools to the lost world. We sound like fools. And why do we sound like fools? Because we are so heavenly conscious that we're no earthly good. We're really no earthly good. As I sit here at McDonald's, if you guys could, let me try to show you something here. Let me stand up, do a little bit of a live video here. I want you to stand. I'm going to turn it the other way. I don't know if you can see it. Stand here. The drive-thru's over here. Right behind me is a main drag. People going to work, going up and down that road. Many of them have no relationship at all with Jesus. Some of them go to church, but they don't really even understand what that means. Some of them call themselves Christian, but they're no more Christian than a poached egg. It's like I said to somebody the other day, or wrote the other day, going to church and calling you a Christian is no different than living in a chicken coop and calling yourself a rooster. And there are millions of people, millions, who believe that Jesus is about to split the eastern sky. But right now, I mean, they're celebrating it right now. I mean, there's churches are just hooting and hollering, Jerusalem, and all these people going up and down the street here. 90% of them are on their way to hell, and ain't nobody cares. Because we're waiting for it. We're waiting to get raptured out of here. Hell with these people, literally. Hell with these people. They had their chance. What did you tell them? No, no. Well, wow. I told them Jesus loved them. You did? Well, I bet that got them. Bet that got them. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, why would I change them? Jesus loves me. I'm in one of those moods this morning, fellas. You picking up on it? Yes.
I had a talk with a guy about this. We've got no hope, right? Christians,
there's no hope.
We're supposed to be the most hopeful people.
The light
and
of
we've
the
got
world,
no hope.
The salt of the earth.
Why no don't hope. We have any hope?
We have no hope.
We've got no hope,
Jared, anyway. they call the rapture the blessed hope. You understand that? They call it the blessed hope. That's why we have this mindset that we win in the end. Heaven forbid we'd win now. I don't have my Bible in front of me. Pull up Matthew 28 for me, Jared. Because as far as I know, it's the same Bible we still have. Still same one. Go down to verse 18. I hate to keep coming back to this. Is Roger Weaver out there? I haven't heard a day, even a couple of days. I don't know if he's still listening.
Brother.
Okay. Jiminy. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, just I could just camp right there. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? We're told this, the devil rules this world. We're told this is the devil's world. We're told that we have to get out of here. We have to get our new bodies, my glorified body. I'm not making fun of any of that. I'm not making fun of that. When? The traffic line is so, the traffic line's clear back there. None of these people have any idea. And all these people who are focusing on Jerusalem being established, they won't take the time to go in these cars and even hand them a tract. They won't even tell them. They won't tap on the window, say, hey, listen, by the way, did you know all power's been given under Jesus, both in heaven and earth? Do you know that Jesus has all power? Everywhere you look right now, Jesus is the one that's in charge. Do they know that? They don't know that. Hey. You know why they don't know that? Because we don't know that. We don't believe that. Yeah, Roger.
I'll jump in here, seeing that you missed me so much.
Right.
I think in many of the churches today, if you were a stranger coming in, you would think salvation was through works, serving, because that's what you see. You don't see occupying. You don't see challenging anything. But I think if you were a layman coming in, you would say, well, the way I get to eternity through Christ is if I serve and love people. That would be that's what is being said and shown.
Certainly love people. That'd be the number one thing, wouldn't it, Roger? Because service really doesn't take place outside the church at all. Very, very rarely outside the church. It's service within the church and loving people.
I've been in environments where I've been challenged that I don't serve enough. And I'm thinking, well, I think service is good. I probably should do more. But the gospel isn't just about, it's not serving. It's sharing the gospel, being obedient as an individual to his word. I think trumps some of this service though. I think service is highly overrated from a scriptural salvation standpoint. I don't mean that harshly for men and women that do serve, but in a lot of churches, that's all they're doing is serve, 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 and that's all you hear.
You know, Roger, you said something, you said trumps, and I know that you didn't mean it this way, but this is the way it came across to me. I think a lot of Christians don't like Trump because if things get better, that goes against what they think the Bible teaches. They think it's supposed to get worse. How can it get better? How can things possibly get better? I read the Bible. Well, look, they just established Jerusalem as the capital. Well, it's got to get worse. It's got to get worse. And Trump's talking about making America great again. A lot of Christians, boy, they're really confused. See? Hey, listen, folks. That's why we want you to come to Ohio June 14th and 15th. All hands on deck. Because we're going to do what Roger just spoke about. We're going to do some action. Now, I want you to know this. I've been in your shoes. Can I tell you a story? Here's how it started for me. When I got sued, but I'm coming back to Matthew. Hang in there with me. Jared's got the link. Thanks, Jared. Remember, folks, I'm not in my studio. I'm in front of McDonald's. Smells good. Boy, I smell that. You'd think they'd bring me a coffee, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think that lady in there would bring me a coffee? See me sitting out here all by myself. Lost my train. Oh, I know what I was doing. When I went through the whole battle with the American Civil Liberties Union, I fought that battle for 2 years. When that whole thing was over and my wife and I quit teaching, coaching, walked away from everything, laid it all down to follow hard after the Lord, what I thought the Lord had told us to do. And I didn't do it because I was thinking about a rapture. Never really bought that, to be honest with you. But I remember I was unemployed and I was living just down the road here about a mile and a half. Wow, what a story that is. And ran into a buddy named Mark Harrington. Mark's still a good friend of mine. And I thought he was going to yell at me, all the Kroger. Hey, bring me a cup of coffee. I'm doing a live radio broadcast. I'll buy a cup of coffee if you'll deliver it to me. Okay, I don't see they don't like me. They don't like being yelled at my back. There's four of them looking. So anyway, I got associated with Mark Carrington, who runs Created Equal, and Mark was the first guy who took me to the streets. Really, the first guy that took me to the streets. And I remember how scared I was. I was a pretty bold guy, but I was scared. I was ill prepared, ill trained. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. And I think you're going to put me out there, and I'm going to look like a fool. And he says, "Listen, coach, just come with me." And he says, "All I need you to do is says you just stand behind me, keep your arms folded. That's all I need you to do." He says, "You just stand here and you watch." And so we set up this big display on the campus of Ohio State University where we were going to earnestly contend for the faith against college kids about abortion. And so I'm behind the table where I can hand out the flyers and I don't have to say anything because, you know, the real guys fighting, they're out in the crowd and they're starting little brush fires and they're having debates and I'm sitting back here and I'm watching. And I watched for about 2 minutes and I listened to what this egg-headed college kids had to say and I thought, you gotta be kidding me. I know more than them. And I jumped behind the table and went out to where the because I know that the scripture tells you that he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And they said, "Behold," well, we're going to read this here in Matthew. Yeah, your faith will come alive more than you will ever know when you put out. And you, for the first time, you look and you see the children of the devil really, really organized and really working together. You see the devil's kids. You see who the real enemy of our soul is. Not that the individual is. See, like when the Nazis were fighting for Hitler, I suppose you hated the individual Nazi. I suppose you probably hated him enough that you would shoot him, I think. But the individual Nazi was just being loyal to his ideology. It wasn't him that was bad. It was the ideology that was bad. Now, he was bad, don't get me wrong, but he was believing a lie. And all wrong belief leads to wrong action. And so we got a lot of people who've been taught, as I sit here and that traffic lines up there again, we've all been taught that the rapture's coming, we're all out of here, hell with them. Well, that's what we're going to take. That's what we're going to do on June 14th and 15th. It's, come and join us. Come and join us. Listen, if you have financial issues, don't let that stop you. Say you've never done it, you're afraid, don't let that stop you. You say, "I'd like to bring my wife. Can my wife come?" Yes, your wife can come. Come and join us. Let me flop back here then. Let me get back to the word. Hey, I want to ask you this. Is Chad still in here? I'll call out Glenn. You guys don't have to answer. David Arthur. I'm sure David Arthur's in there. What if the Lord really did have all power? What if he really did? And what if he really had all power and he said, "Listen, I got all the power. And you are going to do even greater stuff for me because I go away." He said, "I got all the power and I'm giving it to you. I've got all the power and I'm going to come and live in you." What if we really believed that? As we were talking about yesterday and Friday, whenever it was, when Jared said, "We're not mad. We're not mad. Well, you know why we're not mad? Because we're not mad because we don't think we have all power. We don't think we have the power to do something about it. She seen me the other day when a bee came into my house. Had the back door open so the dogs could go in and out. Big old bumblebee came in that back door buzzing around. You should have seen me. Grabbed that fly swatter and I went to war. They murder babies all around us. We won't even grab a fly swatter. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. So go, boys." Fellas, we cannot disconnect those two verses. He could have said it this way. He could have reversed these two. He could have started with verse 19. Stay with me. He could have said it this way. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the earth, because all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth." The fact that he said reverse those doesn't change the fact that he has the power. Am I rambling too much? Somebody jump in here. Hello? Yeah. Sure.
So this is a Medal of Honor citation to Charles Abril. He was a 1st Marine 1st Division, and this is in the Korean conflict. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life, above and beyond the call of duty, while serving as a fire team leader in Company E, in action against enemy aggressor forces, while advancing with his platoon in an attack against well-concealed and heavily fortified enemy hill positions, Corporal Abril voluntarily rushed forward through the assaulting squad, which was pinned down by a hail of intense and accurate automatic weapons fire from a hostile bunker situated on commanding ground. Although previously wounded by enemy hand grenade fragments, he proceeded to carry out a bold, single-handed attack against the bunker, exhorting his comrades to follow him. Sustaining 2 additional wounds as he stormed towards the emplacement, he resolutely pulled the pin from a grenade clutched in his hand and hurled himself bodily into the bunker with the live missile still in his grasp. Fatally wounded in a resulting explosion, which killed the entire enemy gun crew within the stronghold, Corporal Abril, by his valiant spirit of self-sacrifice in the face of certain death, served to inspire all his comrades and contributed directly to the success of his platoon in attaining its objective. His superb courage and heroic initiative sustain and enhance the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. He gallantly gave his life for his country.
And Jared, if I understand this right, he wasn't present to receive the award? Wow. So what's the mission, huh? What's our mission? See, that's, when it gets right down to it, that's our problem in the church, isn't it? We don't know our mission. We don't know our mission. People laugh at stuff. We say, occupy till I return. And people laugh about that. Earnestly contend for the faith, and people laugh about that. Jesus said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, said, it is finished. What is finished? For this purpose was the Son of Man manifested. He would destroy, he would annihilate. He would take a hand grenade into the bunker and destroy the works of the devil. And then we sit here in modern 2018, America, and we have no mission, we have no vision, we have no desire at all to occupy this ground, this sacred ground that men fought and died for. We have no desire to reclaim it or to occupy it or to hold it. We can't wait for Jerusalem to be established so that Jesus can come and we can get out of here.
I just wanted to say, I think part of the reason is because we're not invested. I'm just saying we as a group of Christians, okay, we're not invested enough, okay, to feel what it is that God feels when his commandments and the child sacrifices and these other things are happening. Okay, he feels it. He has it. He hears it. It's about his character. You know, he knows it, and we don't feel it enough. We don't have that. And I'm not trying to be, you know, touchy-feely.
I'm not talking that way.
So it's not having. We don't have. It's not impacting us enough. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not enough. Not enough to know that. Hey, you know what? This is real. This is real. And we talked about this, I just read that he won that. And what I'm saying is, look, it's great to go and occupy that to the end. That's what we're supposed to do, occupy, okay? But I think it was yesterday that we were talking about, well, why don't I just go and get shot or maybe that was earlier anyway.
It was earlier, yeah.
But there's no need to die needlessly. Okay, don't just be reckless. Okay, we need to be with the Spirit, using discernment, hey, make your stand, that kind of stuff right now, because Henry Gruber will remind you that, yes, he went to Rome, he went to the Vatican, and he dealt with those two fallen angels down there. But then what he did is he saw this other place off to the left, and he went there, but he was not told to go there. And he almost didn't make it out alive. So we still have to stay in constant communication with the Lord to get our directions. Well, we think about Saul and David, right? So Saul, he did what he's supposed to do, but then he veered off, and he didn't eradicate everybody in that village, everything in that village. Anyway, okay, sorry.
No, not sorry. That's well said. See, we do not know the vision and mission of the church. So we get people saved, and as soon as we get them saved, it's about heaven. That's what we tell them. That's why we tell them it's about heaven. You're going to go to heaven now. I say, okay, well, what do I do in the meantime? Do I sit in the bus stop, stacked up like cordwood, waiting for the rapture to come? Hey, guys, listen. I heard in Jared's voice as he was reading that. I heard the old Marine in Jared's voice, because Jared knows what that commitment is. He understands what that means. And I hear and see in the voices and in the eyes of former football players, guys I coached, guys with, guys I come in contact with. You can turn on NFL Today on Sunday, and you can see those guys that used to play football that are now, they're analysts. And see, they understand what happens in a man's heart when he gets in that huddle, and how much he's depending on his fellow players. And the one goal, and I've got your back, and let's advance the ball. Let's do whatever we can. Next man up, next guy, every man doing whatever you can do. Somebody make a play. Let's keep moving down the field. Jared understands that. Former athletes understand that. The average Christian doesn't understand that. They don't understand we're part of a power and of a force and of an army and of a church that is supposed to be advancing. No, we get on the team and then we go sit on the bench and they give us a water bottle. Good, Jared.
Well, Coach, that verse, Matthew 28, God's given you the grenade. He's given you the grenade. Yes. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to hold on to the grenade? You're not going to pull the pin. And you're going to look at all your buddies, watching them get shot, watching them fall to addiction, watching them murder their children, watching them send their kids to public school. You've got the grenade. You've got it. Or are you going to look at the bunker that's on commanding ground, and are you going to say, you know, I can do this. I can save all these people around me, all of my comrades.
Jared, even worse than that, Jared, I have to do this. See, there's no doubt we can. We don't have an urgency that we have to. You know why we don't have to? Oh, praise the Lord. Jerusalem's been established as the capital. Somebody else has got an opinion. Come on in.
I'm not having an opinion, but I have an illustration. And it is when Francis Scott Key wrote the national anthem about the banner of that flag, how it waved in that fort when that it's like a 5 or 6 minute video out there, brother, and how that flag is many times that pole took direct hits from the English Navy. When the morning and the dusk came, that flag was still standing, because men, every time that flag went down, would go out there and they would lift that flag back up, and they would die holding that flag up. And it was a pile of bodies that held that flag up in the morning.
We're not loyal to anything but ourselves, Dale. We're not loyal. Hey, somebody else is getting ready to come in. Hey, Jared, pull up the national anthem, Star Spangled Banner, all three verses of it. See if you can find it. Somebody else come in. You're right. Hey, Dale, we're not loyal to anything but ourselves.
You know, Jared read the heroics of that corporal that won the Medal of Honor. And, you know, he had a grenade, and he knew what the grenade would do. And I'm certain in his mind, he said, well, is there any way I can deliver this grenade inside that bunker? without having to do it bodily. And you know, we have a folks that claiming to be Christians, and we have some that are Christians that have their grenade. They have the power and the authority Jesus has given them. And not only do we, and I got to include myself in this sometimes, not only do we not throw ourselves bodily and sacrificially into situations where the knowledge and the authority that we have could do some real good, we don't even look for ways to use it where it won't hurt us, where we won't be.
That's right.
At
yeah,
risk.
Because that's right. Because we've been taught to not hurt anybody else too, Larry, sadly. And the whole when you got saved, folks, what did you get? I know what you got saved from. What did you get saved to? What are you saved to? Maybe that's a question we need to ask. Jared's got the Star Spangled Banner up, and I got to put my glasses on, my dollar store glasses. We all know the first verse. But let's read this as a Francis Scott Key. Let's read this, folks, not as a national anthem, but just the spirit behind this thing. It says, "Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed, the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming? And the rocket's red glare, bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?" See, that's a question mark. Did you notice that, folks? It's a question mark. Next verse. "So on the shore dimly seen through the mists of the deep, where the foe's haughty host in dread silence reposes, what is that which the breeze o'er the towering steep, as it fitfully blows, half conceals, half discloses?" Another question mark. "Now it catches the gleam of the morning's first beam, in full glory rejected, now shines in the stream. 'Tis the star-spangled banner. Oh, how long may it wave? O'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." And where is that band who so valiantly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country, should leave us no more? The blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave. Wow, look at that. There's nowhere for the hireling and the slave to hide. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight and the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free, the home of the brave. So here you are, boys. "Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heavenly rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just. And the motto, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. The star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." And all we do is sing the stupid first verse of that song. That's all we do. That's all anybody knows. And the deep spiritual meaning of this thing is pretty deep.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Another insight to that, and is, you know, it's the same thing as war, is we think war is for the soldier, not us. We think the clinic and the ministry, that's for other people. That's not my calling, we say. But yeah, that flag was not held up by soldiers. That camp was mostly a civilian camp of men, women, and children. Brother, it wasn't the military that were going and laying their lives down to hold up that flag. It was the common citizen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Jared. Jared, pull up the Gettysburg Address. What's happened to us, men? What has happened to us? Lord, help us. What has happened to us? A lot of things. 47 years ago,
Coach,
our fathers. Yep, yep.
You just said, Lord, help us. The Lord's not going to help us unless we're willing to help ourselves.
That's right. Lord, help us help ourselves. Listen to this. By the way, I'm going to, Right Wing Watch is going to love this one. Truth can be told with it, except for ending slavery. The Roman army won the Civil War. We would have been better off with states' rights, with the South having won and the slaves being freed. We'd have been better off with that than what we have now, when Abraham Lincoln ushered in this beast of a federal system, a federal government, where we've lost our individual rights. So despite which side you were rooting for, just listen to this. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, don't forget this. This is the point Dale made. This was not federal armies. These were brothers and cousins and neighbors putting on a uniform and going and fighting for what they believed in. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We're met on a great battlefield of that war. We've come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It's the least we can do. Isn't it funny? That's a takeoff of Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. Your reasonable service. Isn't that what Abraham Lincoln says here? It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. It's our reasonable service. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men loving and dead who struggled here, they've consecrated it far above their poor power to add or detract. And the world will little note, no longer remember what we say here, but it will never forget what they did here. And it is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fall here have thus far so nobly advanced. He's talking to us. Take this sacrifice, all this. Hey, time out a minute. I wonder what they thought about Jerusalem in the rapture. The Civil War boys out there shooting their cousins. I wonder what they were thinking about the Civil War and the rapture and Jerusalem being established as the capital. So, well, Coach, they didn't ever think that could be possible. So now that it's possible, all theology changes? This world will little note and long remember what they say, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, those of us who remain, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. Boys and girls, look over your shoulder at what others have done to where we stand today. 2,000 years.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on just a second. It is rather for us to be here dedicated. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take an increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, and that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth soon. It's a tag team handoff. Yeah, George.
One thing, I know our forefathers didn't give their precious blood. They didn't spill their blood so that the Zionists could use us like a rented mule. And this lie of Zionism, what you're seeing happen on national news, world news, its ugly head has come into fruition, and it will be exposed. But you know, we have a job now, especially learning about who true Israel is, that message out. Because our forefathers would roll over in their grave if they thought they shed their blood so that we could prop up a false political state.
that does nothing but evil around the world.
George, it's amen to that. But also, George, look how many of our guys, our young, valiant men died for something that really, when it gets right down to it, was not in the interests of America. It's gone on for how long? Since Korea, Korean War, Vietnam War. I mean, just go through the wars. We've been at war ever since I've been alive. And I can tell you guys, we haven't been at war for righteous causes. There's been no righteous causes that America's been at war for. They say, Coach, we're delivering other freedoms. We're bringing freedom to other countries. Oh, yeah? Tell me what countries that is that we're bringing that freedom to.
Hey, Coach. Let me look back on a little bit of biblical history here. You know, when Joshua and Caleb led the Israelites, not Jews, but led the Israelites into the Promised Land, or Canaan as it was called then, so they had all kinds of skirmishes and wars. They had all kinds of victories over these little small fiefdoms and kingdoms that are, you know, the tribal areas that were set up and stuff. And it wasn't until they walked in disobedience by not destroying everything and every person. And some of the Israeli troops, some of the Israeli invading folks kept a little bit of the booty for themselves. It wasn't until that happened that there is any recording in the Bible that the Israelis even took any casualties. The few casualties they took in that next battle shocked them, because they were not used to their side losing at all, because God was on their side up to that point. But when they were disobedient, God took his divine intervention away from their efforts, and they were shocked that they had casualties. And, you know, how can we claim that we as a nation have fought moral wars and all that? There may have been elements that were, you know, if you had a chalkboard and score and sides, we might have been on the more moral side. I'm not saying that isn't true. But what I'm saying is a God intervention, a God-directed conflict, God's side ain't going to take no casualties.
You know, fellas, I was driving by a big church here. It's about 10 miles from here. I was driving by it the other day. I might have had David Arthur with me. I can't remember. I had somebody with me. We drove by this big monstrosity of this mega church that they've built. And I said, as we drove by it, I said, help me out here. Can you show me one identifying factor, one thing that identifies this as a church? No cross, no steeple. And then I was driving, I may have them reversed. 2 weeks before that or 2 weeks after, I can't remember. I was driving with some guys. I said, look, we came over this hill. We came into this city. And I said, look out here at all of the steeples. Whatever town you live in, any major city, go to drive into Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Drive into Columbus, Ohio, although it's kind of flat. Drive into any major city. Drive into Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Drive into Washington, PA. Get on Route 70 and go through some of the cities that Route 70 takes you on. And look out over the horizon and see how many steeples you see rising above everything else in the city. Then when they built churches 500 years ago in those cities, 200 years ago in those cities, they put a steeple on. Yeah, I know it's a phallic symbol. I understand. But they put steeples on top of those churches because they wanted the world to know we're staying. Boom, here we are. We are above everything else, and we serve everything that is above everything else, and here we are. And you drive through those cities today, and those old dead churches are there. There's nobody in them, but those old dead churches are there with those steeples reaching to the sky. And you drive across America today, and you drive by the mega churches, and you won't see a cross, you won't see a steeple. You know why? Because they don't have a vision to be here for very long. So they put up these steel, buildings that aren't made to last 500, 600, 700 years, because I don't know if you heard this or not. Jerusalem's now the capital of Israel. We're out of here.
Coach.
Yep.
We were coming back from Wisconsin. We were coming through downtown Chicago when you said that.
That's it. Downtown Chicago. And they were there, weren't they, Jeff? You looked out there, and there they were. There were the steeples. Boom, boom, boom. Everywhere you look, these great big steeples. You drive by these mega churches, they get nothing. There's no steeple, no cross. You drive by the one I was talking about, it doesn't even say, there's not even a sign out front saying what it is. Because why? We're ashamed of the gospel. Number one, we're ashamed of the gospel. We think the cross is going to turn people off. And number two, we ain't going to be here around long. Hopefully, I don't know how it is. I think some of them have those roofs that open up so that when the rapture comes, they hit a button and nobody hits their head on the way out. I hope. Help me finish up here. How much time I got? So I've been worried the whole time. I'm doing this on my phone. I've been worried the whole time I was going to lose all my power. I'm hanging there pretty good.
Hey, Coach, how about I read a little paragraph of a testimony, and I just happen to have it next to my chair from Fox's Book of Martyrs. Is it worthy of the cause? Thomas Hawks, who was sentenced to death, some of his followers had come and asked him. He says they were wondering how long their faith could stand in the midst of the fire, and Hawks agreed to lift his hands over his head if the pain was tolerable and his mind was still at peace. And when he had been in the fire so long that he could not speak, that his skin had shrunk, that his fingers had burned off, and everyone thought he was dead, Hawks suddenly raised his burning hands over his head, and he clapped them together three times. Wow. And the people erupted in praise in the prison.
Unbelievable. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Feeling kind of melancholy this morning.
Hey, you know, Coach.
Hang on just a second. I'm still melancholy. Why? Because I'm looking right now, that line of cars backed up again at that red light. And none of them have any idea about a spiritual life. None of them have any idea. And I'm telling you this, ain't a one of them that gives a damn about Jerusalem. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a visual when Dale was talking about the flag. I had the visual. Remember when we were out on the lake the other day and we docked and you pointed out that flag in the wind? Is that not the perfect visual for that? For that story.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, folks. Is that ever something? No? That old ragged, tattered flag flying up. It was. You couldn't even tell it was a flag.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, just chat. Well, coming back to that flag again, I'm glad you said something about it, David. You see, it wasn't really about the flag.
No.
It was about keeping the flag there because it was a signal. It was inspiration to the other men and people there fighting, to keep fighting, to keep fighting. We still have the kingdom.
Amen.
Keep fighting. Keep
Amen.
Fighting. Get engaged.
Amen.
And the Amen. Flag is still there, folks.
And Chad.
Amen, brother.
Chad, the prisoners that were on the English ships, their only concern was the flag still flying?
That's why they said it, man. Keep it. Remember Iwo Jima? You guys remember that statue of Iwo Jima? As Chad is saying, it is a reflection of what's still going on. The flag is still flying. Christ is still in control. He is not in evacuation mode.
And, Coach, here's another one. How about Timolycus and the Roman Colosseums where the people, and you know there were Christians, they were going there watching these gladiators and people getting eat by lions. And he saw this, and this indignant rage rose up inside of him that he went right down in the midst of that Colosseum and laid his body over that person. He died that day, and so didn't the slaughter that happened at the Colosseum. Nobody's willing to interposition themselves.
Now, would you rather die like that or die laying in a nursing home with some IVs coming out of your arm? We're going in.
Yeah, in a jewel bucket, right?
Yeah.
Like Dale said, he got angry. He was so enraged at the injustice that he had to have some form of justice in some way to protect the innocent.
Amen. Jared, pull up Onward Christian Soldiers, the old hymns that we don't see. See if you can find that, Jared. How much time we got? I think my battery's going to last. What has happened to, think about what we're singing now. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. As compared to this, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Hey, he leads against the foe. Forward into battle. See his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the sound. Brothers, lift your voices loud, your anthem raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Boys, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, yeah, right, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. What the saints established, that I hold for true. What the saints believe, that I believe too. Long as earth endureth, men thy faith will hold. Kingdoms, nations, empires, in destruction world. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against the church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that can never fail. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward, then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. They'd throw you out of church today if you started singing that. They'd throw you out of church. This would be onward, folks, to Jerusalem. Now it is the capital. God help us. God help us. God help us.
Hey, Coach.
George.
You know, it comes to me about what we're talking about in the show today. The bottom line is, are we feeding our flesh or are we feeding?
George, we love our flesh. That's why we don't want to die. We love our flesh.
Because leaning.
You're breaking up, George. Ecclesiastes 7. Jared, can you do that real quick? I'm almost over time. George, I didn't mean to walk on you. You're breaking up, man. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. You're all going to die. All of us going to die. See, we think the gospel's changed. We think it's changed. Finding it, Jared? Okay, there it comes. There it is. Ecclesiastes 7. He's trying to get it. I could quote it. I want you to see it on your own. Sun's getting my eyes. I can't even hardly see my screen anymore. That's not, nah, 7, is that 7:1, Jared?
No, that was Micah. What is it the Lord requireth of thee?
Okay, what's it saying? Make it bigger, there you go. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of the death better than the day of one's birth. Onward, Christian soldiers. God bless you, we'll see you tomorrow.